Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Red Men News. I'm Ross Chandler, your host, joined today by Ben Kelly. We're trying to establish when the last time we did a news show, Ben, was. Can't remember.
Somebody will know.
The basis is still the same. We're here to bring you some news and not news. And we'll chat about it and or not chat about it, depending on what people want. First off, Ben, Fabrizio Romano tweeted about 3 hours ago, according to Twitter, RB Leipzig are not open to sell Deut Meccano in January. He is expected to leave the club in the summer. Many clubs interested and set to open talks with his agents. The release clause value is €42 million. Not really a surprise, that, is it, Ben?
No, not at all. I don't think any of us have really considered Upamecano as a realistic target for January at any point. I know his name's been thrown up a couple of times, but I just think down to the fact alone that we're playing Leipzig in the Champions League next month pretty much would have ruled us out anyway. So, as much as I think, you know, around Leipzig this month, it's probably good for us. You know, if we can hold on until the summer and we are interested in the summer, it might mean that we get to go in through in the summer. But, you know, in terms of a short-term replacement for Van Dijk and Gomez, don't think it was ever on the cards.
No, which still opens the debate of what Liverpool are going to do in January, if anything. You know, we'll have that conversation again in the summer, as you mentioned. On to another defender now, and Virgil van Dijk. Well, two things on Van Dijk, actually. We'll go for the happy news first before we go to the bad stuff. It's been claimed that he might be back in March. Former England national Carlton Palmer says Van Dijk's updates have offered promising hope that a Dutchman could return before the end of the season. He's quoted as saying in Football Fancast, from what I'm seeing from him, he's on the bike now. He's starting to jog a bit. He's into straight line running. You know, within the next month or 2 months, he could be back. He's an exceptional athlete and a consummate pro. He said, if you look at the past, at Alan Shearer having a cruciate injury, the same as Van Dijk, I think Shearer's back in record time because he looks after himself and keeps himself fit. Players like to do that and recover quicker from injury. Again, not really news, Ben, but, you know, something we can hang our hat on in hopes. You know, we've all seen the tweets and the Instagram posts from Virgil van Dijk of him doing that training with, you know, whether it's on the bike or he's been, you know, sat off with Clarence Seedorf in Dubai, you know, which is quite nice. But, you know, I think one thing we all took from that, going, okay, he's on the bike, that's one thing. But when he starts moving in different directions, he's kind of working that knee, that's when we'll start to see him come a bit closer. But maybe that's something else that Liverpool hang in their hat on. You know, maybe they're monitoring his recovery and thinking, well, we won't go for someone in January because he might be back in March.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, I still wouldn't want to rush him. You know, I think from a Holland perspective as well, they'll be eager to try and get him back before the end of the season because they've got the Euros coming up in the summer. But you know, it you can't help but get a bit excited about it. You know what I mean? Like, I think Virgil van Dijk is quite easily one of the best players I've ever seen wear a Liverpool shirt. I want him to be away for as least little time as possible because he's not going to be around forever. You know, he's 30 in July, and you just don't want things to take up too much of his career and what time he has left at the top level. But you know, by the same token, you know, the guy's right. It's like, well, if you do look after yourself and you do, you know, not push it, not push your luck with it, but also, you know, you make sure that you're training it and you're looking after it in the right way. And there is a possibility that if you're, you know, if your body's in the best physical condition it could have been prior to the injury, that, you know, you'd be able to get yourself back a little bit sooner than expected. Obviously, the other side to this is that he will be completely lacking in match fitness now. So, you know, even though he might be recovered from the injury by March, we might not see the best of him until, you know, April. You know, hopefully we're going deep into the Champions League season. And, you know, by the time you get to the semi-finals in the last week of April, first week of May, you know, that might be the time where you begin to see the best of Van Dijk again. And that's obviously going to be a crucial part of the season. So hopefully he's around about back for then.
Do you think there's desperation from him as well? But obviously there will be because he's injured and he's never been out for this long in his career, as far as I'm aware. But also the fact that he's seen the result of him not being in the Liverpool side, do you think he's desperate to get back so he can essentially just help his teammates and get some good results and, you know, and pushes towards another title charge?
Maybe. But I think maybe that's what he'd say. But I think from a footballer's perspective, it's always, you know, internally, it's like more of a self thing where he'll just want to be playing football again, and that's all that matters to him. You know, he'll want to be out on the pitch winning trophies, yes, for the team, but also for himself. He'll know that, as I said before, he'll know that he's 30 in the summer. He'll know he doesn't have years and years left at the top level. And the way he'll be seeing it at the moment is that he's wasting time.
Yeah, because 30 is dead old, isn't it?
Yeah,
In football terms, it is. 31.
Yeah, give up on a football career now, Ross.
Yeah, that was about 15 years ago, mate. Never mind that. Another slightly different story. Michael Oliver did an interview with the Daily Mail, something which we're going to do a bit more in depth on around the league this afternoon. Me, myself, Ben, and Ben Haynes, is it?
Haynes from 90 Minutes.
90 Minutes, that's the one. So within that, Ben, he spoke about a lot of things. He spoke about VAR, he spoke about the abuse that referees receive. But obviously for this new show, we'll stick on that Van Dijk incident in which he got injured. So he said to the Daily Mail, the thought initially was it can't be a penalty because it's offside, so we need to check the offside first. I think I said that to VAR, it's not offside, I'm going to give a penalty. Then I've watched it back so many times. I generally don't think Pickford has done anything apart from try to spread himself, but he did it in the wrong way as the injury was shown. We have all, myself included, not thought about the challenge as much as we should have done. We could have given an offside and sent Pickford off. What I was surprised about looking at afterwards was nothing was expected on field in terms of a red card. None of the players were asking for that. To which a lot of the response from Liverpool fans are like, fucking hell, nice one, mate. 3 months too late for all this kind of stuff. But, you know, I think not now, but I think things like this help. You know, the transparency between referees and something, again, we may talk about this afternoon, is the relationship between fans and referees isn't great because we don't get the insights like this. And when it is 3 months too late. So tell us what you're thinking. Like, you know, this is different because it was a major mistake. But, you know, the odd mistake or small mistake, if you can call it that, I'd have a bit more discrepancy with the referees or a bit more understanding. They went, yeah, I'm really sorry. It's a human error. I was looking at this and I didn't do that. I'm still learning on the job, whatever. But things like this just don't help their cause. And in the article, he does talk about the abuse where VAR is helping out between them and the players. But I think there's a long way to go where, you know, fans and referees' relationships can be, you know, a lot more can be done.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a good step in the right direction. Funnily enough, I always find that referees do speak quite well when they do speak. You know, other than Peter Walton on fucking BT, does me any. But like, Mike Dean was on Peter Crouch's podcast not long back, and Michael Oliver, a couple of years ago, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher did like a little documentary where they went and like sort went to Mike Riley's sort of coaching school for referees, and they did like a day, like, you know, being part of the referees sort of world, and all of that. Like, and when you listen to referees talking, like, they always quite impress me with the way that they communicate, you know, the processes and what the thought processes are and stuff like that. It's for that reason that I can't quite figure out just how they manage to get it, which seems to be what they're doing on a regular basis. So, you know, for Michael Oliver to come out and do that interview was very honest. I thought it was very well, you know, some of the points were very well made. We're going to do more about it on the show later. But in terms of the Van Dijk thing, I mean, you know, that, as you say, that's probably just the most high-profile example from this season. It wasn't the right call, but with or without the red card, Van Dijk would be in this situation now. He'd be out injured. So I'm not one of them things you've got to try and learn to move on from it.
Doesn't bring Van Dijk back, does it? That never helps the situation. Let us know your thoughts on all the topics we covered so far, and Tom will collect some of your questions and comments. I might read some of them out. I might not. Fourth round draw for the FA Cup tonight, Ben. I'm pretty sure it's the fourth and the fifth round draw tonight as well. Liverpool are in. We're going to do a live watch along tonight. Paul and Chris are going to be doing a live stream whilst it's going on, and then afterwards we're going to do a Redmen Reacts video up on the website as well to discuss what that means, which is slightly different, Ben, in terms of, you know, there's some good teams in there still. There's some lower league opposition which might benefit Liverpool, but I can't remember that it was you I was having this discussion with last week, maybe someone else, I've slept since then, but having a fourth and fifth round draw might determine how teams approach those games. So for example, if Liverpool get a non-league team or Crawley Town or whatever in the fourth round, but they get drawn against Man City in the fifth round, does that kind of change and where the fixtures fall as well? So I think one of them, it falls between Manchester United and Leicester, for example, for Liverpool. Now, does that determine what you do and how you go forward within that? And this is part of the benefit of doing the fourth and fifth round together, is that you can manage your squad like from basically from tonight, can't you?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Injuries impending.
Yeah, I mean, I knew they were doing that, but I hadn't really thought of the implications of it in that sense. I guess it makes sense. I don't know if that's why the FA are doing it this way. But I'd struggle to think of any other reasons, I guess.
It wouldn't help people, from Jürgen Klopp.
No, exactly. I mean, but from Jürgen Klopp's perspective, or he's happy that it's being done this way for exactly that reason. Not that he's interested in the FA Cup whatsoever, but just as an example. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, funnily enough, even though this year logistically it's the least practical for Liverpool to go in a cup run, this is the first year in a good few years where I've actually felt a bit more in the spirit of the cup, and that maybe Liverpool should go in a cup run. You know, in other years, Liverpool have had much to fry, and I'm not saying we don't season, but having now, you know, got a Premier League in the bag, got a Europa Cup in the bag under Jurgen Klopp, it would have been nice to go out and potentially get it, you know, give a double, you know, with one of them this season. Don't know if that's going to be possible, but, you know, if you can map out a little bit, obviously you've got your fourth round, your fifth round, and then you're suddenly in the quarterfinals. So if you, you know, if you get a favourable draw tonight for both rounds, you can kind of begin to map your route to Wembley. And who knows, you might have fans in the ground by May. So suddenly it becomes a more exciting prospect of potentially having a couple of days out of Wembley.
Just let me throw a spanner in the work, a potential spanner in the works there for you, Ben. So this ties will be played on the 23rd and 24th of January, which is to what, 2 weeks' time, less than.
Next week, yeah.
So we've got Manchester United on the Sunday. We play Burnley on the Thursday. Yeah. So Thursday night.
Yeah.
We're either going to play on the Saturday or Sunday. So we've got a day or 2 days in between playing Burnley in the league and playing in this FA Cup fourth round.
Yeah, but if we draw, I mean, there must be some teams in the hat that we could draw and we'd want to play. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think off the top of my head who went, Crawley. Like, what, if we draw Crawley.
Or Chorley. I
mean? Like, they not need that. Crawley or Chorley, one of them. Crawley in the fourth round, Chorley in the fifth round. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. I've sorted it.
Oh, there we go. And it was literate. But that's
my point. Like, yeah, you're right. If we draw Man United and Man City in a row, suddenly I'm not quite as optimistic about that. But, you know, in the fourth round, there's still a good opportunity. I mean, it never seems to happen for us, but there's a good opportunity to still draw a couple of teams that are essentially, whether you like it or not, potentially a bit of a buy. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see.
One of those teams, Ben, and one manager that wants to play Liverpool is Blackpool and Neil Critchley. Would be nice to go full circle, you know, play Liverpool's under-23s against Blackpool in the fourth round and go through to the fifth. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm sure Critchley will be looking forward to that one as well. Yeah, because who did they beat? They beat West Brom, didn't they? They beat Big Sam.
He's got one up with Jurgen Klopp, then, hasn't he?
There's he'll be riding the crest of a wave in the FA Cup. So yeah, look, there's plenty of names in the hat that Liverpool could draw, and it would be perfectly acceptable. So let's just hope we get one of them.
Yeah, we'll have you covered.
Or two of them.
Yeah, two. We'll have you covered, as mentioned. Some of your comments on Virgil van Dijk. Johnny Walker says if we rush Van Dijk back for April, just for a couple of games, he'll have to play in the Euros and risk re-injury before 2021-22 season. Not worth it. Good point. Didn't think about that. Stephen Somerville said, I wouldn't rush Virgil back for next game because players have to come back before with this injury and have struggled. I think we've seen that with the likes of Danny Ings, Oxlade-Chamberlain and others have struggled. On the refs, Danny says it shows it how reaction referees are. They send players off because of reactions. And that's one thing I picked up on that, Ben, actually. When he said, I didn't look at the red card because none of the players were asking for it, that shouldn't be the case, should it?
No. I mean, you know, the players, the referees shouldn't be, you know, they should be in tune and be able to remove themselves from that. And maybe that's something, you know, it's partly a benefit of not having crowds there at the moment. The fact that, you know, in a game where, you know, you're at Old Trafford or you're at Goodison or you're at Anfield, in previously, I think referees might have been influenced by, even if it's subconscious, they might have been influenced by crowds, but you know, that's not really a factor at the moment.
No, just one final on that. Jake Bowler, it should be so much more transparent if referees' conversations were broadcast, especially during VAR, like they have been in rugby. I think something we both call for that, haven't we, Ben?
Yeah.
It won't happen. I said, is it the A League? They've done it as well.
Yeah, well, there's that one clip, isn't there? That keeps
it. No, there's two. There's two now. There's two.
Getting on with it. So, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. The mad thing is that it is possible. It's like it's so easy to do, and yet they choose not to do it. So what? Like, I don't get it. But anyway.
Just don't mic up Martin Tyler and mic up the referee instead. I think we'd all enjoy that. Enjoy football.
I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, problem solved. On the FA Cup, Stuart Wisby says, we will get Everton, Man City will get Crawley. Didn't think about that, obviously. And Stephen Somerville, again, finally says, before the quarterfinals, I hope we can get some lower teams because Genie has come out and said he wants to win it and the team haven't won it together yet. So, to your point, Ben, you know, won everything else together, just get the FA Cup. No one's really asked about the Carabao Cup apart from Man City, so... That's that done. Ben, thank you very much. Tom, thank you very much in the background. Thank you to you at home for listening and for watching. We'll be back on Friday, but obviously this afternoon we're going to do a round of league. Tonight we'll do the live draw for the FA Cup. On Wednesday we'll do a bit more in depth on those news, transfer rumours and the Van Dijk stuff probably as well in the Reds News Roundup out on the website. We'll see you soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.